B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Mr. Mark Jackson on the Comcast Business Hotline. How are you today, Mark?
I'm outstanding. How are you, Tom? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, man. Good to hear from you. Now, you got the draft this week, and we were just talking about you know better than anybody because you played in the league, how, and it's even more of a player's league now than it was then, how important it is when you have a great player in their prime to surround him with the right pieces. And we saw that right now the Sixers do not necessarily, they don't have the right pieces around Joel Embiid. With moves being made this week, how important of a week is it for the Sixers in your eyes?
It's very important. You know, I think we underestimate the importance of this time of year. We thought we can get a guy, we can't get a guy. It depends on where you are. You know, it's very important to understand, like, this Sixers team, you know, they underachieved, period. We can say how we want. We can say with this guy, this guy, this. They underachieved. They underachieved with what the expectations were, and they need to improve on that. And I think things like this, this offseason, this draft, you know, a lot of stuff can happen, not necessarily only with the players you choose in the draft, but also how do you go about handling the day, period, with trades and other things.
Right. So let me ask you right at the top. If it was up to you, and let's say there were other teams cooperating with you, would you rather trade the pick at 23 to get a player who's more likely to help you now, or would you rather keep the pick and have a young player under cost control for 5 years?
You know, I really believe that we have a win-now attitude. This team has to win now. So if we can find a player that fits the mold, if we can upgrade at that fifth starting spot, be about a draft pick, or be about getting a young guy who shows some heart and some motor and some meanness, then either or. I think it's important to analyze everything and see what we can get for what we have to offer.
And that part's tough. We're hearing that James Harden is going to take opt-in, the rumor is, and then sign a 2-year extension rather than a full max extension. And we're hearing that it could be for less money than the max after he cashes in on the $47 million this year. If you're Daryl Morey, how far do you go to keep James Harden, knowing that he's definitely going to be back for a year? But how much would you be willing to extend him based on what you've seen with your own eyes once he got to Philadelphia?
I think we got to keep him. You know, I mean, we have to keep him. I don't think it's an option. Like, okay, we're going to let him walk.
We gave up
four Philly cheesesteaks and a Coke Zero, and we're going to get back a pack of cookies? Come on now. We got to re-sign the guy. We need him. We need a player of his magnitude. So he might not have been the James Harden of Houston, but I really believe, like, I'm going to let him think he'll be better than he was. And I'm not going to say it a hamstring. I'm not going to say none of that. I'm just going to say he wasn't great, period. But his subpar performance was still better than 80% of the guards in the NBA.
That part is absolutely true, and I think he'll be back. But the question is, if he demanded a longer extension than 2 years, that's what I more meant. What would you do if you're in charge at that point? We know he's back. He's going to opt in because no one else is going to pay him $47 million this year. But beyond that, are you willing to go 2 more years like is the rumor, or would you go longer to keep him? Because that, to me, is the question. Physically, how will he hold up?
Oh, man. You know, that's a loaded question, Todd. Like, would I pay him? Would I give him a long? Like, what's the thing? Is he get 5 years?
He can basically get right? 4 or 5 after the opt-in, yeah.
Oh, my God. I'm uncomfortable with that, Tyrone. I'm uncomfortable with that. And does that mean he's going to be a little perturbed at me? Did he just have to be perturbed? But I would tell him this. I don't feel comfortable giving you 5 years. But if you feel as though somebody out there can, let him present the offer and let him give us an opportunity to match it. But the only problem with that is once you say pretty much that saying no, but once you say no, that player is never going to be the same for you. The relationship is now the bond is now damaged, and no matter how great you think you want to be, or how good you think of a player, a team, how he's all in, he's really not all in because you said no first, and that's always going to weigh on a player.
Yeah, for sure. We're talking to Mark Jackson from NBC Sports Philadelphia. Mark, I want to ask you about a couple players that are rumored to be on the Sixers' radar and whether or not you would like to add them. Two names, according to Winhurst just today, P.J. Tucker and Eric Gordon. Would you have interest in one, both, or neither of them?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
I mean, P.J. Tucker, man, if we can lock that guy up at that fifth starter, ooh-wee! I love that combination. You know, but he's going to have a lot of suitors. Because, and I think the biggest suitor, Joel Embiid's comments at the end of the season when they lost to them, and he called him by name. As soon as P.J. heard that, he said, what? Oh, I'm opting out now. I'm trying to sign the Sixers. Because now, as it goes, if you're the Sixers, your superstar player acts for this gentleman in particular. So now you're like, oh, well, it kind of like he's seen it. He's like, oh, yeah, by the way, y'all know after this series, I'm opting out. You know, you got a match with the Sixers going to offer me, and I'm quite sure they're going to give me a truckload. So I want PJ. I want PJ 1,000%. Do I want Gordon? I would like Gordon, yes. But once again, he's going to be an older player who's coming off injuries, and that's how the money works. But I don't think the market will be as high for Gordon as it is for Tucker. I think the market will be extremely high for Tucker because he's proven on back-to-back years competing, being a very key key person to two championship-aspiring teams, and because of him. So I think we have a better chance of signing Gordon than we do PJ, unless we extremely overpay for PJ, and I don't know if we have that in the bank.
No, I don't think they have the room for it, and it's going to be interesting to see how that particular thing plays out. The number one position, from according to most experts and people that watch, and I even heard you talking about it when we're watching the games, on the wings, you see what some of these other teams around the league have now in this modern game. And you see what the Sixers had, and you saw once Danny Green got hurt during the game in that game six, you just saw how thin they were. So two-pronged question from that. One, what is Thibel's realistic future at this point? Because it's a little bit dimmer than it was maybe a year ago and definitely more dimmer than after his rookie year. And do you see any other internal option that could help him on the wing before they go outside to try to find somebody else?
You know, I look at all the options they have on the wing, and unfortunately, I think they have a plethora of shooting guards. You know, I think they got Furkan, who's a two, could be a three, but he's really a two. Shake is really a combo guard. What's the shooter?
Isaiah Joe.
Isaiah Joe is I think he's a legitimate person who the Sixers need to take a real hard look at to see if they want to consider putting this guy in the rotation because he showed the ability. Now, I know once I say things like this, people, oh, well, let me look at his three-point percentage. But I think with more looks and more opportunities, I think Isaiah Joe can turn into a real legitimate three-point threat. And I really believe the Sixers feel that same way. I don't have no inside information, but I do believe that they feel that same way. And I think next year, bearing anything, including somebody demands him, I really think they're going to give him a fair shot at trying to get, at minutes. At that guy, that spot. I think they're a little bit over Furkan. I think Furkan, they gave Furkan enough opportunities. And I think they're saying, okay, now this is what this guy is. And we're just going to live with it or die with it. But I really believe that Isaiah Jones will get some minutes. So they need a wing. They need a wing that may not be a great shooter, but he will shoot it. There may not be a great creator off the dribble, but he will create. Matisse is a great defender, but Matisse has not shown the ability to hit the three when left wide open consistently. He hasn't shown the ability to play make off the dribble when they're closing out on him. So for me, I truly believe that Matisse may be expendable in the 76ers' eyes. So we need a wing that's athletic, that may not be great defensively, but it'd be adequate defensively.
There you go. Now, the last thing I always want to ask you about is has nothing to do with the Sixers. It's the great stuff that you do off the floor. I see you out there coaching and everything. Give people who may not know an insight into things that you do with the kids, because I think it's more important, no disrespect to your work you do for this, for NBC Sports Philly, more important work than what you do on TV.
You know, I really appreciate that, man. You know, my whole goal is to give back. My whole goal is to give youth options. And I've had my nonprofit for over 10 years now. And it's through the eyes of basketball. I use basketball as a bridge to get through the young kids' mind. And then I use that to mentor them. I use that to help steer them the right path. And then the ones that's true, that want to really be good at basketball, I use that to prepare them for the real game. And what that means is I hold kids accountable. I not just hold them accountable. I make sure they understand it's not about me, it's about we. And when it comes to basketball, that's my goal. But it's more so, it's about showing these youth. And my youth come from all over. I got a kid from the other side of Harrisburg who drives 2 hours and 30 minutes every practice, 4 days a week just to attend practice. I keep begging his father, why do you keep coming? It's too far. He said, Mark, to learn from you, to learn how the game should be played, I'll do that. To learn how to be a better person, I will do that. And his name is David Moto Jr. And I give his family props. And I got kids from Trenton. I got kids from upstate New York. But my rule is, you don't come to practice, you don't play, period. And that's rare nowadays. So when it comes to on the court, I try to teach these kids to be held accountable. So when they move on to high school, the next coach will be the coach. And high school is not cheap. And I'm trying to get all these kids a higher education than a typical public school education through the game, through what they're learning from me. And it's been working, and I'm so proud of it.
And what's the name of your academy, just so everybody knows?
It's called Team Jacko, J-A-C-K-O, Team Jacko, J-A-C-K-O. It's a fully registered nonprofit organization that strives to help kids and mentor kids through the game of basketball.
Listen, thanks so much, Mark, as usual, for the insight. And again, you're doing great things off the floor, away from the TV as well. And I appreciate it. Every kid you touch is going to be a future leader, and that's going to make the world better. So thanks so much for coming on, man.
I really appreciate you, Todd. Thank you very much.
All right, man. That was Mark Jackson on the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.